Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The rigid tool calendar of Medicare podcasts. He finds the rules of pickleball too complex to follow. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. This is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and I am Doug Jones, as you just heard Drew McMillan say. This is the podcast for lazy ladies and lazy men of all stripes who are forced to learn about Medicare, and they come here to do it in a painless and almost fun way. You're listening to episode 55 being recorded on May 7th. Of 2020, and we are so happy to have you joining us. Drew McMillan was the announcer that opened this podcast episode, and he is a young Canadian television personality. If you were to be in Canada and to watch Powerboat TV, you would see Drew as one of the two hosts every week, and you can, if you wish, go to powerboattv.com to catch episodes of that were recorded in 2020 that have Drew and his co-host telling you all about motorboats, racing boats, all kinds of boats, trailers, all the equipment that goes with boats, equipment that helps boating be more or less challenging and easier for people, and fun places to go in your boat in Canada. Maybe they'll go to the States sometime, I hope. So the lazy man, the lazy lady that we're podcasting to is a Medicare victim. They're coming up on Medicare. They might not know what to do. They don't want to become Medicare experts because that could sap your brain of all its vital fluids. So we step in and try to help them by giving them the Medicare information that will help them make the right decisions, so that they can go on their merry way and never have to worry about Medicare ever again. And when I say we, I'm including my co-host, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm really good. I wanted to talk about the fact that once again, I was walking by the chip. Several people came out and grabbed me by the collar, and they said, if you don't come up with some mailbag items, so mailbag action here pretty quick, this is not going to be a good thing. So I talked to Doug. Doug agreed. We're going to do mailbag 24/7 all the time during this podcast. And it's great because everybody has a question. And once you read a question out of the mailbag, chances are 25 more people had the same question and they just hadn't gotten to the email client yet.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things occur to me. First of all, I have cleared the decks just for this special mailbag-only episode. But I wish we had an intro for the mailbag items, because if we throw one or two in at the end of a regular podcast episode, it seems like a jolting change, and it seems like we could ease the audience into the mailbag mood if we had some way to introduce that segment. But that's in your capable hands. Just a request from the peanut gallery. Is there something we can do to help introduce our mailbag episodes in the future? Also, people come out from the Buffalo Chip and accost you and demand mailbag, more mailbag. I want more mailbag. They don't say cowbell, they say mailbag. They come out from Harold's and they have the same request. Doesn't anybody come from Big Earl's Greasy Eats?
I never get that far down the street before I'm, you know, I can't get that far.
Okay, well, I understand. They're more known for the Greasy Eats and less known for the alcohol than Harold's and the Buffalo Chip are.
Well, the other thing is across the road is Brian's Barbecue. So, I mean, I normally don't get down that far because if I go past El Encanto, that's it. I can't get that far.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a whole lot of stuff to eat here in Cave Creek. Of course, it you could stand in line forever waiting for them to hand it to you out a window right now, but they tell us the restaurants are going to be reopening before too long. And that'll be a good thing for Randy and Margaret, because then they can go to any number of Mexican restaurants in order to slake their appetite.
The only issue, Doug, is that once they do open, we'll never be able to get in town for at least 2 weeks.
You mean the pent-up demand will cause a stampede of people?
Exactly. The pent-up demand to go out to eat and actually sit on somewhere besides the sidewalk or the local tree flower pot, whatever they call those things.
Well, there are in other states, they're talking about opening up restaurants, but then observing some sort of social stupid distance rules that cause the restaurant to not be able to have more than like three people eating at a time. So I think there's still going to be a line for Margaret to stand in for 20 minutes or more.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. I'm really afraid of that, because Margaret loves her Mexican food. It's one of her favorite genres of food. And so we have to have some Mexican food in our diet at least once a week, or she's not a happy camper.
Well, we wouldn't have to adhere to all these stupid rules if people would just stop spitting on each other. So
I know.
People, keep your saliva in your mouth and behave yourselves, and then we'll all be able to cuddle up together in restaurants and enjoy the food again.
I just thought another thing I was just going to point out, and I know I'm probably going to get some response to this that's not in favorable light, but I read on the internet a day or so ago that the average size of a virus particle can fly through a face mask at light speed and never slow down.
Well, boy, the face mask manufacturers don't want to hear that. That means there's no need for their product. We can just stop buying Chinese face masks.
The only thing that'll stop a virus, you know, is putting a plastic bag over your head, and then you don't care whether you got sick or not.
But you're not allowed to do that because the plastic bags all have warnings. They cost twice as much as they should. But
don't let your kid play with this plastic bag. Now, who would? You know, I'm just saying.
And by extension, don't you play with it either. You know, you might find that it's fun to play with a plastic bag, but you're going to die.
I'm really glad that they put that warning on hair blowers.
Yes.
Not to be used while you're in the shower.
Oh, yeah, and the braille on drive-up ATMs.
Yes.
You know, this is for blind people. This is an ATM. You may either put your money in or push these buttons and take some money out.
And if you got here in a car, good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't tell anybody that you did that until you're blocks away. So we decided to have a special episode today, mailbag, nothing but mailbag. And this is where we ask you to send your questions, your critiques, your criticisms, your pats on the back to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. DBJ are my initials and MLM is Medicare for the Lazy Man. So dbj@mlmmailbag.com would be where you would email your questions. And then we will try to take the dirty poo-poo words out and clean them up for this family podcast. So our first item today comes from a loyal fan by the name of Dominic. Dominic writes... He writes actually a fairly lengthy thing that doesn't really have much of a question, but, you know, he's such a lovable guy, I wanted to share it with the audience anyway. He says, I just wanted to thank you for making me feel old. So it started out like it was going to be pretty insulting. I just signed up for Medicare Part A thanks to you. Thanks to you, I learned that this was the very first day I could sign up since my 65th birthday is coming up on August 6th. I am really enjoying your podcast. It's also nice to see that you have grown your studio audience from a few hand clappers to a large cheering crowd. He's a very observant guy. Also, I have two things to say to the individual who left that 2-star review from your book. The two things he has to say are hogwash and fiddle faddle. Now, there's a man with command of the English language. Keep up the good work and give Randy my best. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dominic. My response was, congratulations on successfully joining the ranks of Medicare. We are very pleased to have you in that growing audience. I will give you a shout out, but you won't hear it for about a month because we're recording podcast episodes that far ahead. Randy is working me like a dog. And then Randy chimed in. Dominic, he said, I'm so glad to hear from you. I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying the MLM podcast. Please keep listening, spreading the word, and above all, to you and your family, be safe and stay well. Now, I need to get Doug back to work. Signed, Randy. So that's not really factual, doesn't help anybody with their Medicare stuff, but it shows that one of our listeners has successfully negotiated Medicare by enrolling in Medicare Part A, step one of his new adventure in life. So that was Dominic, and next we have Sherry. This is a very nice lady. I discovered her letter along with a whole bunch of others in my spam folder, and I don't know why all of a sudden a whole bunch of mailbag items landed in my spam folder, but it taught me that I've got to go check that folder more frequently than I have been. So Sherry writes, it's a little bit early, but come November 1st of 2020, I will be on Medicare. I've read your book and I'm interested in a high deductible plan G. Can you help me? And my response to Sherry was, thank you so much for writing. I would have answered you much sooner, but your message wound up in my spam folder and I just now found it. Your email address leads me to believe that you live in Florida. While I'm licensed to do business there, I have not had a chance to familiarize myself with the Florida insurance market. As much as I would love to help you, I think you would be better served by finding a well-established local insurance broker who values his or her reputation for good customer service. And then tell that person exactly what you want to buy. In this case, she wants to buy high deductible plan G. Tell this person exactly what you want to buy and stick to your guns, I said in all caps. And then Sherry wrote me back and she said, hello, Doug. Thank you very much for your swift response. My brother-in-law had his broker reach out to me without my consent. When I spoke with this broker and told him that I had spoken to a friend that has a Cadillac Plan F and loves it, and since I'm not eligible for that plan, I'm very interested in high deductible plan G, his response was, now don't you listen to anyone else but me, only me. Sherry says, I was so flabbergasted that I had to reach out to you. I'm so glad I did. I thank you for your marvelous book, simple to understand and to the point. I will find another broker and I will stick to my guns, she says. With warmest regards, Sherry. So I had to respond to that. And I said, Sherry, I'm very happy I could help you. If you are so inclined, posting a short customer review on the site where you got the book would be very helpful. Good luck. And she wrote back and said, here is my review. And her review is very glowing. I'm too shy to actually read it now because it would just embarrass me. But it is a wonderful 5-star review of my book. Short, pithy, to the point. So Sherry is another fan for life, I hope anyway. And corresponding with her has been very rewarding and we got a nice 5-star review out of it. Now we have a piece of correspondence from Robert. Might be the only Robert out there. His last name is that of a large German city. He says, thanks for your book. It is enormously helpful. It was written for me, but I have a question. He says, I'm 65, enrolled in Part A, and have deferred Part B. That usually means he's working and he's covered by his employer's health plan, but he signed up for Part A so as to get the process going, get that part of the job out of the way, and he's on the books at the Social Security Administration that administers Medicare, so that when he goes back and says, I want my Part B, they will already have him on the books, and it'll be an easier process. So he says, I have deferred Part B for the time being. I'm about to retire at the end of May and will lose my employer-provided private insurance. He said, I live in Northern California, but by early June, I'll be moving to the Los Angeles area. My question is, when I go on Medicare.gov, It asks for my zip code for evaluating Part D plans and maybe even supplement plans. Should I provide my current zip code or new zip code, effective sometime in June, and does it really matter? And I answered Robert. Thanks for writing, Robert. I would have answered you immediately, except that I just now found your message in my spam folder. People are going to get tired of hearing that. I'm going to check that sucker every day so I never have to apologize for being late with a response again. Sorry to say that your location, zip code, and or county will definitely affect the Part D plan choices, as they are all reliant on geographic location of the purchaser, which is you. I would definitely search for the best plan based on your new location in the LA area rather than your old address. As for Medicare supplement plans, they are good everywhere and will move with you when you relocate. It is possible that the insurance company will adjust the premium when they learn of your new residence address, but I doubt that will amount to very much of a change. Please let me know if I can ever be of service in the future. Since the book was helpful to you, I would ask that you return to the site where you got it and post a short customer review. That would help me as well as potential new readers. Thanks very much. I never let them get away without twisting that arm just a little bit more. Could you please put a review on the place where you bought the book? Now, the places where you can get the book would be Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Either one works for me. So, here I am reading mailbag items. I don't know how much time we have left. Randy, Randy, wake up.
Oh, jeez. I was awake, Doug.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is that why? I recognize those eyeballs painted on your eyelids as the same ones I was looking at last week.
We have 3 minutes before the old clock on the wall starts chirping again. So
oh, those crickets.
We've got time for another good, solid mailbag item, maybe two. And then we'll go on into the let's land the plane.
All right, here's a shorty, and we'll see how we're doing after this. This is from Art. Art says, I will be retiring from a well-paying job and switching from work coverage to Medicare as per your book's guidance. Do I need to initiate recalculation of IRMA and refund, or will this be automatic from subsequent tax returns with much less income? Thanks. Great book. I love this guy. And I said, thanks for writing, Art. Since IRMA is based on your modified adjusted gross income from the tax year 2 years prior, I would not expect to hear from them about an IRMA penalty anytime soon. Process is controlled by the IRS, and you need to take no action in order to comply with the requirements. Just wait for them to finally figure it out. When they inevitably deliver the bad news to you, I would give serious consideration to contacting them via telephone at first in order to plead your case that the reported income was a temporary situation and not the norm, if indeed that is accurate. They have been known to modify or waive their demands in the face of a cogently presented case. Since the book was helpful, here I go again. I wonder if you might consider going back to the site where you got it and post a short customer review. It would help both me and future readers. Thank you very much. I can't ever let somebody get away without at least my twisting their arm a little bit to write a review, and I'm hoping that he will do the same. And maybe we can squeeze one more of these things in. Here's somebody who has a real short exchange. Just got your book and read it cover to cover. Was surprised about your opinion regarding Plan C coverage. Plan C is Medicare Advantage, and as we all know, Randy calls that Medicare Disadvantage. He said, I like the coverage because the policy offered to me paid for quite a bit of dental, vision, and hearing coverage. What do most people do for these expenses? I have heard a policy for these are not worth it. Do most people just pay the invoices? Thanks, Dave. And I said, thanks very much for writing. I won't try to change your mind about Advantage plans as long as you are going in with your eyes open. Many customers are unpleasantly surprised down the road when things go wrong, like when their doctors or dentists stop honoring the plan they bought. You sound like somebody who can roll with the punches, though. Standalone dental and vision hearing plans are widely available everywhere, but they are kind of pricey and include waiting periods for major services. Most of my clients have opted out due to the cost. Individual coverage like that is expensive because the insurance company knows that you will be using it. Yes, people do like to talk about dental, but most of my clients have taken a pass. I hope the book was helpful for you. If so, it would help me as well as future readers if you would go back where you bought it and leave a short customer review. Thanks very much. So that's Dave's contribution to our mailbag today. And Randy's looking at me like, let's get on with it. Come on, let's go. So I can call it quits if you think it's time to do that, Randy.
Did you hear that recent bump?
I didn't hear a bump. I didn't hear crickets, though. That's always a good sign. Did those crickets die finally?
No, I cut it off before they came on, but that bump was the landing gear coming down, Doug.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez. Well, I guess the next thing is we hit the ground a-running, huh?
We definitely need to put the tray tables up and, you know, thank our customers, thank our audience. They have really made this a great experience today, as you have, Doug. I love mailbag items, and now I can get by with walking through Cave Creek for at least a week or two without people attacking me on the street going, where's the mailbag? We haven't heard any mailbag.
You tell them to come to episode 55, and they'll get their fill of mailbag, at least for a while. So
that's right.
I'm happy to accommodate.
I love mailbag items.
Me too.
They're so useful, and, you know, they're real, and people get, you know, one mailbag items answers questions for, you know, a number of people, but I love them.
Well, dbj@mlmmailbag.com would be the place to send your questions or your comments. You can send comments if you like, and we'll still address them. We'll turn them into questions somehow. We'll do some surgery on them and make them fun. So,
absolutely.
Once again, as Randy said, thank you very much for joining us. We are so happy to have you here with us all the time, and we're looking forward to our next meeting together.
We will see you next time on MedicareForTheLazyMan.com podcast. And when you come, you'll be able to spend another 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma.
That's me.
What more can I say?
That says it all. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Bye-bye.